Hello, my friends. Colin Cook here, a voice for those who have no voice. This is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with various addictions. Thanks for listening. I welcome you to listen each weeknight, Monday through Friday, so that you can begin to build a whole understanding and faith response to your struggle with addictions. Now, we are pausing from the book of Romans. We've come to the end of it, and we're going to be starting all over again in a few weeks, or maybe a few days, perhaps a week or so. But right now, we are looking at the three factors that constitute addiction: spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, and escapes from pain. One could say spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, and psychological addiction. Now, my friend, we're looking particularly at factor two, the emotional wounds. Let's take an example. Let's suppose a young woman has a very difficult father. Let's suppose that that father is alcoholic. Let's suppose that she longed for lovely affection and caring from her father, and it just didn't work out. What is going to happen to that woman later on in life? She's either going to avoid men altogether, perceiving them as very much in her father's role or the model of her father, or she's going to go, as Phil Donahue years ago said, in overdrive after them. Actually, she's probably going to do both. She will avoid men and treat them very suspiciously for many years, and then, out of sheer desperation of avoiding a very specific or definite need for affection and intimacy, she will then possibly go in overdrive after them, unless there is an intervention by faith. Now, I want you to think of that dynamic, because there are so many Christians who simply consider, well, let's go back to this dear example. Let's suppose that that woman became strongly tempted by men. Let's think then that she, let's suppose she's a Christian, considers all such temptations a sin. And she starts obsessing in her mind about men and becomes very troubled by these obsessive thoughts. She feels she needs to constantly repent of them. And then let's suppose that, not overcoming these obsessive thoughts, she then moves into activity and becomes quite promiscuous. Let us suppose that that promiscuity is recognized by the church. The church rebukes her, the church declares her a sinner, and the church puts her out. Now, are we only looking at sin, my friend? No, we're looking at much more, aren't we? We are looking at a woman who could not bond with her father because of abuse, at least psychological abuse, if not physical abuse, of that daughter. When that abuse takes place, that daughter has a wounded heart where she sought to bond to a father, be kept safe by a father, have a loving, affectionate relationship with a father, but it never took place. There is therefore a gaping wound in her heart, which 10 years later, 15 years later, she still searches after. Now, the search that she is going for, is it a sin or is it not? Of course it's not a sin. It's a basic need. It is an unmet need. Now, how she finds a solution to that need, whether it turns into promiscuity or not, becomes the sin issue, doesn't it? But the need itself must not be confused for the sin. What has happened is that a real need, that is, this wounded heart that she seeks to resolve by a good and healthy bonding with another male figure, parent figure, that healthy need has somehow been aborted, and a false solution to it is being sought, which is the promiscuity, let's say. Does this make any sense to you? Of course it does. What we therefore are looking at is that addiction is constituted of something that is a very real need and a false solution to that need. If we fail to see this, then all we will be doing throughout life is simply trying to stamp out a habit or a behavior without understanding what's behind it and meeting or attempting to meet the real need behind it. I ask you to give very serious thought to this, because you don't need simply to stop drinking. Yes, if that's an if you have an alcoholic problem, for God's sake, stop drinking. But that is not the only problem, is it? The problem behind the alcohol is what is the real issue at hand. Maybe you did not bond with your father. Maybe you have an abusive parent. Maybe there are issues way back in childhood that have to be worked through, thought through, talked through, and related through in confronting your abuser. Going back to the illustration of that young woman, how do you think that woman would feel? Well, there would be residues. What do I mean? Residues? No, not at all. Reservoirs of anger deep down within her that have never been resolved. The search for men, or the avoidance of men, has behind it an enormous reservoir of rage. She may be a very mild person. She may be very pleasant. People very often cover their anger with smiles and with pleasantries and niceness. But underneath, there is this unresolved anger. Is it a sin? Not at all. It's a very legitimate rage that has not been resolved. That girl, that woman does not need rebuking. That girl, that woman needs to be encouraged to open up, to share the pain with someone, with God first of all, and with a counselor. Yes, don't you see the importance of this? And by the way, and obviously you understand what I'm getting at here, you may be the person I'm talking about, mind you. You might be this person who has presently a terrible addiction, whether it's a woman addicted to men or a man addicted to women, not simply in relationship to women, but addicted to them. You may have a strong addictive relationship to people, or the desire for people, a person, and never getting it fulfilled. But you may not be looking at what is behind that and see that there is this gaping wound. How does one even go about approaching it? Well, of course, the first thing, I won't say the first thing, but possibly the first thing, might be to start writing down, my friend, in a journal, the stations of your life, those great monumental periods that you remember as great traumas in your life, those events that crushed you, that hurt and wounded your spirit, that traumatized you, those events that you simply stuff and never look at. Oh yes, you may have spent years avoiding them. Notice what I said, spent years avoiding them. You don't just avoid them over the years, you spend years avoiding them, because so much emotional energy goes into repression. When one has had a life of pain, a childhood of pain, one is holding oneself together with a girder of emotional repression. Now, my friend, I want to say to you that it's time to look at it. And I want to say to you, I am not a licensed counselor. I am not registered with the state of Colorado. I'm talking to you with pastoral concern, and I am saying to you, it is time to look at all that stuff. I'm talking to you as a faith training counselor, and it might be good for you to get a journal, for you to start writing about those periods of pain in your life. Yes, it will produce more pain, I'm sorry to tell you, but the truth of the matter is, if you don't reach into that pain, then you will be endlessly wasting time and energy keeping it stuffed. And it doesn't help. It doesn't allow you the freedom to move on. So, perhaps you need to write down these things. More than write them down, it may be time to write undelivered letters to your abuser. That is to say, imagine you are sitting before that person, whether it's a parent or a stranger, and you are writing down all that that abuse meant. If it is a parent, you will be writing about what you wished could have happened, what you feel so angry that did happen. You will talk about the times that you wished you had been able to be close to your mommy or daddy, the times you wished you could have talked to them and played with them and they gave you no time. Now, I know this is enormously painful, but remember this, our Heavenly Father is with you. Our God is the great comforter through His Holy Spirit. He is the great physician. He allows you to pull all your past out and bring it into the light. This isn't because somehow you're going to be healed by simply remembering the past, but rather that you're going to come to terms with your anger, with your resentment, with the depression that has flowed from it, and you're going to start dealing with it. Of course, as you do this, you will start sensing that you're angry with God as well. Why weren't you there, God? Why didn't you help me? Why were you so silent? And as you bring these issues before God, over a period of time, God is going to help you to come to terms with them. There is no solution but facing grief to grief. That is to say, there is no solution to grief except to face the pain, to come to terms with it, and to believe finally that even in pain, our Heavenly Father was working a good and better plan than your abusers were. So, we want to look not only at our addictive habits as if they were the only thing that's going on, but also the woundedness behind them. And to help you take a look into your past, my friend, I have a new program for you that is going to start on April the 16th, one day after Tax Day, Thursday, and we'll go through every Thursday till the end of May. For 7 weeks, I invite you to join me at my home, 10 of you, and no more than 10 and no less than 10, otherwise the program will not go off, in which we will do group, let's not call it psychotherapy. I can't call it psychotherapy because I'm not a licensed counselor or registered in the state of Colorado, but I assure you I will give you more than that. Because we have a way of looking at these things and the three factors of the spiritual delusions, the emotional wounds, and the escapes from pain will all come together. The 10 of us, in total confidentiality, by signing an agreement, will look at your issues and you will look at their issues and I will be your counselor and I will guide you through what is going on there. So, you have until the 24th of this month to register. $20 per evening, this will be for 7 evenings, $20 per session. If you wish to register, write to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Or you can call me at 303-738-8694. That's 303-738-8694. Meetings will be in the Englewood area, and we will start at 7 and finish at 8:30 every Thursday evening, beginning on April the 16th, right through to the end of May, 7 weeks at $20 per session, my friend. So give me a call, and God bless. I'll see you next time.